Joining me on the Saturday Cafe is Casey Connor. And yes, he's been sitting in quietly in the background playing along with his own recording, which I guess is a habit you get into when you produce it in a bedroom studio and do all the parts yourself.
Oh my gosh, well said, Frank. Yes, I'm a little too used to it, you might say. But you don't get to hear all the stuff that goes wrong on the recording, of course. So,
does it make it harder to do live shows when you don't have the option to come back and layer and add in? How do you strip down a studio production for a live show?
A very fair question. I've been asked that a few times, and for me, the answer is that all the songs on that album were songs completely in their own right before I recorded them, so I've already been performing them and so on, and that's kind of the way I work. Like, I write it with just me and the guitar. I go into the bedroom studio and then layer it, and you know, maybe for the first week after I'm done with it, I might hear some parts in my head that I wish were there, but for the most part, I think they stand on their own. I mean, there's, you know, maybe one or two that you know, aren't as strong live as they are with the 100 layers to them, but you know, pretty much they sometimes they have slightly different variations or what have you, you know, live, but it's usually not a problem.
Well, our KLCC library has kind of a time lapse Casey Connor career. We have one album from 2003, and then we have
this one,
and the differences are profound, even just in terms of. I don't think there was more than one song on the previous album that was under 6 minutes long. And these are all kind of concise and tight and self-contained. It's a wonderful album for radio because I can drop the laser on it at almost any track and there'll be a nice, precious little song to play.
Well, that's music to my ears, so to speak. Yeah, that last album, it's a really, you know, it's a typical kind of cliche transformation that artists go through, I suppose, in their career where they change from their kind of bedroom perspective into like, how can I connect and how can I deliver something of value to my listeners? And for me, that process was definitely reflected in the last couple albums. You know, I definitely write in a way, I don't know, it's just maturing. It's a process of maturing. And that album, to me, like, I love it. I spent hours and hours deep in the bowels of that album. But I can definitely understand its unlistenability. You know, so it's so demanding. I'm not sure, is it Close Whisper? I'm not sure which one.
Yeah,
it's pretty, like, you have to be obsessed with me. You have to be as obsessed with me as I am to enjoy that album, I think.
Well, the other place that it's really nice is I'm a craftsman, and so I spend a lot of time with my hands on autopilot and listening to music so that my brain is free while my body does my job. And it's kind of nice for that. You can float in and out of the songs for a long time while you're making 600 soup bowls or something.
Oh, that's also good news. Yeah. This is a very affirming interview. Thank you.
Well, then I should put you on the spot. We've given you strokes and compliments. You should
time to rock.
Prove your worth. Sing a song for us.
All right. I'll start with this one. It's called The Gown. This is kind of a, take my headphones off here. This is kind of a weirder song. All of my songs are rated informally in an internal spectrum from not weird to weird, and so this one's more towards the weird side. Not too weird, though.
About a W6.5 or so.
Yeah. Let's only our old clothes keeping me warm now. The things I take, I try to take secretly. And I don't believe in anything anyhow. And I just want to taste the cold comfortably. Love in the gutter and love in the lane. Dust become diamonds and diamonds to dust. Yeah, I wonder how I got here. And I wonder what I'm worth. Everybody's waiting for the big one. Yes, they are. Well, I try to breathe. Get inside, and I'll hold you in my hands like a soft winged sea. Every little moment said easy, and everyone got what they need. Love in the gutter and love in the lane. Dust become diamonds and diamonds it does. And I wonder, have I got here? And I want what I'm worth. Everybody's waiting for the big one. Yes, they are. Looking for the ghosts in the window. Trees. We're gonna lift the gown about the water, all but the bodies washed downstream. And I look you in the eyes and face the facts. Oh, I've been in darkness, but I'll come back. I might be alone, so I'll leave the light on. I'm trying to hold on, but I'm dreaming of the fall. Love in the gutter and love in the lane. Dust become diamonds and diamonds and dust. Yeah. I wonder how I got here. Everybody's waiting for the big one now. Everybody's waiting for the big one. Yes, they are.
My guest today on the Saturday Cafe is Casey Connor. He's doing a house concert tonight in Corvallis at Diane Arney's. The traditional, you want to get in touch with her and make sure that there's a seat for you. Diane Arney, D-I-A-N-E-A-R-N-E-Y at MSN.com, or probably better at this point, 541-753-0762.
And you know, I asked her if it was okay to give out the address, and she said that was an okay thing to do.
Okay.
Should I do that?
I don't have it. Perhaps you should give it out.
It's at 770 Southwest Lookout Drive. If you're just going on it's not Philomath, it's Philomath.
Philomath,
West on Philomath. Right on 35th, left on Western, and Lookout's just a little road off of there. 770. 6 p.m., that's the other important thing. It's an early show, so
all right.
People should, you can still rock out later.
You said that your songs have a spectrum from not weird to very weird. How do you define what seems? Is it the subject matter? Is it the way they're put together? Is it the sort of impressionistic, lots of different images? What's your definition of weird as far as your songs?
I think you hit it there in the last part. It's probably born more of my own kind of nervousness of like. Oh, how many risks and how vulnerable and how deep and how deep into the ether should I be going here? I think of it kind of in terms of accessibility. That song has a couple strange images in it that on some plane of my brain make sense, but I could understand people being a little confused by. So I think that's what I mean essentially. You know, some of my songs are a little bit more straightforward and easy to think about.
Some sort
I like them all, but
some need exegesis.
What's that, sorry?
Some need exegesis, sort of the biblical thing where you take all the little bits and write a footnote on the edge explaining what they are.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Sorry, I just lost a train of thought.
It happens to me all the time.
It went away like a ghost. That was what it was. I don't quite get the title of the album.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, it's... I was so happy on the way down here when you named that album. You did it so perfectly, and so many people. It's Ghosts,
right?
It was not intended.
It's got to be 3 G's,
exactly. And I was not intending a Scooby Doo reference at the time, although that seems, in retrospect, how could I not? So a lot of people look at that and they're like, GGG Ghosts? What does that mean? You know, kind of confused. For me, you know, when I look at an album and I kind of try to find the common thread and try to marry it as an art piece, the idea of ghosts and spirits and kind of being haunted by things, good and bad, and the idea that sort of in the way that I think in the milieu of society in general, we're kind of opening up to the idea of mythos and storytelling as being part of our reality, that it doesn't have to be this polar, does it exist or not exist kind of consciousness. I think we've accepted, or I've at least accepted, ghosts more as a concept in life to be playing with and working with and writing about. And all of these songs have something, you know, The Gown...
Yeah,
mentions this gown in the water. You know, it's kind of this ghostly image. Oh, and of course, looking for the ghosts in the windows, looking for the ghosts in the tree. You know, there's some literal references, but even in a kind of metaphoric sense, all of them have to do with memories and things that are kind of passing through that aren't. They're kind of ephemeral and not necessarily nameable or
things you may be haunted by.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. For sure.
Well, Casey Connor, thank you very much for joining me on the Saturday Cafe. It's really wonderful having you.
Pleasure
to be here.
You've
got time for one more song, if you would be so kind.
I would be. My guitar will be so kind. There were two lunar eclipses last summer, within a couple months of each other, and during the first lunar eclipse, I wrote the words to this song. And then I developed the music in the intervening couple months, and then during the second lunar eclipse, I sang it to the moon for the first time, and it's kind of a conversation between the Earth and the moon.
Oh, you can... I've played this song. But,
oh, you have?
Yeah.
Okay. Should I play a different one, or should
I
go for it?
No, no, okay. I love this song.
To the moon... To the moon I whispered, where have you gone tonight? You were shining so large and brightly. To the moon I whispered. Well, I was sad and I could not love you, so I dressed myself in shadows just to see the distant stars. And I was sad and I could not love you. To my love, to the moon I whispered. Well, it was I cast your veil black, for as many times as you wandered, so many you have come back. Well, my moon, oh, she spoke so softly. Oh, my lover, you are wise and true. Just as your patience shadow yields, I will cast my darkness for you. Thank you. into the moon I whisper. Where have you gone tonight? You were a shining so large and brightly. Into the moon I whisper.